We're in a very familiar passage of Scripture this morning, one that you've heard taught in Sunday school many times, one you've probably heard preached from many times. But in Luke chapter 15, there's three stories. There's a story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and the story of the lost son. We call the story of the lost son the story of the prodigal son. And again, we're all very familiar with it. Although, I will tell you, when we were reading our scripture passage a moment ago, I noticed something that I never noticed before. I'll tell you about it in just a second. The man had two sons. Father had two sons. The younger comes to him and said, "Dad, I'd like my part of the inheritance." And in verse 12, it says, "And he divided unto them his living," which implies that he gave to both sons their inheritance. Otherwise, the Bible would have said, "And he divided unto him his inheritance," or his part of the inheritance. And back in those days, the older child got a double portion. So this father had two kids. The older son would have, two boys, the older son would have got two-thirds. The younger son would have got a third of the father's possessions. And it makes the end of the story a little bit more meaningful when the father told the older son, "Hey, everything I have is yours because I've already given it to you. He divided his living among them." Well, anyhow, I don't know, some of you may have noticed that, but first time for me. But anyhow, the younger son gets his inheritance. He leaves home. The Bible says he goes into a far country and he wastes his inheritance. He wasted in riotous living, the Bible says. And he ended up poor. He ended up all alone. He ended up so hungry that he began to go to work for a man feeding swine. Now, for a Jewish boy, that was about as low as you could go. Swine were unclean animals. And to be employed feeding the swine was to hit rock bottom. The Bible says one day he came to himself and he says, "Hey, my father's servants at home have it better than I do. They have a better place to sleep. They have better food to eat. I'm going to just go home and tell my dad I'm no longer worthy to be called a son, but I'd like you to make me one of your servants." And of course, we know the story. He does go home. He's welcomed home as a son, given a robe for his back, sandals for his feet, a ring for his finger. The father kills the fatted calf, and they rejoice that this son that had gone away from home was back. So it's a very familiar story, but it's also a very instructive story. Because I would submit to you this morning that every single person here has taken that same journey that the younger son has taken. We've gone in to that far country. We've gone into that place I'll tell you about it in a minute. I want to preach a sermon this morning entitled, "Into the Far Country." Into the Far Country. You're getting more than your money's worth this morning because I got 5 points. So I usually only have three, so you got to listen quick and you got to listen close, and I'll try to get done about the same time. But point number one is we enter a far country when we get the eye disease. This young son got the eye disease when he came to that point in his life when he says, "I want to be boss. I want to be in charge. I want to make my own decisions. I want to tell myself what to do. I don't want to listen to dad anymore. I don't want to take instructions from my father anymore. I don't want him telling me what to do. I don't want him setting boundaries for me. I don't want him to be in charge of my life anymore. I want to be my own boss." So he goes into that far country so that he can run his own life. I will tell you, there's other people in the Bible that went into the far country just as much as this younger son did. Satan went into the far country when he got the eye disease. He was one of three archangels in heaven. And in Isaiah chapter 14, here's what it says about what Satan said. He said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Satan got the eye disease. I mean, he was one of three angels that God had put in charge in heaven. He was serving God, and he was taking direction from God, but he wasn't satisfied with that. He did not want to be under God, so he said, I'm going to be like God. I'll put my throne besides God's throne, and I'll be just as mighty, I'll be just as powerful, I'll be just like God. He got the eye disease. He went into the far country, just like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. Adam and Eve got the eye disease. I mean, God had put them in the Garden of Eden. And one day they said, I want my eyes open. I want to be wise. I want to be as gods, knowing good and evil. They weren't satisfied anymore with God taking care of them. They weren't satisfied anymore with God being in charge of the Garden of Eden. They said, I want to be like God. I want to know what God knows. And so they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They went into that far country. Now, I would submit to you that every one of us at one point in our life had that same disease. We got the eye disease. You see, every single one of us were made to be children of God. When God created you and when he created me, his plan was for us to be part of his family. His plan was for us to be saved through the cross, the love story that Brother Wendell sang about a moment ago. That was his plan before we were made. Before we were born, before the foundations of the world was laid, God's plan was that every single person who would be conceived would be part of his family and would have a home in heaven with him. That was God's desire. We were to be part of his family. We were to enjoy the fellowship with him. We were to spend our life forever worshiping and praising him. But something happened. We reached a certain point in our life where we got the same disease, the eye disease, where we said, I don't want to obey God. I don't want to obey this book. I don't want to take my direction and be guided by the things that are in this book and be guided by the things of God. I know what's best for me. I know what I need. I know the direction that my life should take. And we turn our back on God and we go into that far country. We go into that place where we can be our own boss. Point number two, the far country is always worse than the place we left. The far country is always worse than the place we left. Think about the younger son in the story in Luke chapter 15. He had it made at home. He was a prince. I mean, his father was wealthy. He had servants that waited on him. He had his own room. I don't know that for sure, but I'm assuming that he did. Sometimes some people say to me, where do you get all this stuff? Well, I just try to extrapolate. You know, I just try to think. This is part of the story. But he had good food to eat. He had good clothes to wear. He had good shoes to wear. When he was at home, he was part of the family. He had a ring on his finger that symbolized that he was part of that family. He had it good at home. But the far country was far worse than the conditions that he lived in at home. You see, everything was okay when he had his money. He had friends, had good clothes, had good shoes, had plenty to eat. But when his money left, so did his friends. And pretty soon his clothes wore out. Pretty soon his shoes wore out. Pretty soon he did not have food to eat. Pretty soon he did not have a place to stay. Pretty soon the only job that he could get was feeding the pigs and being so hungry that he wanted to eat what he was feeding the swine. The far country is always far worse than the place you leave. Same thing was true for Satan. I mean, he was the angel of beauty and music. His covering was precious stones. He was a leader of other angels. He had an important and prominent position in heaven. He was close to God. And he got the eye disease. He said, I want to be God. I want to sit in the same place that God sets. And God cast him out of heaven. He became the prince and power of the air. And one day he's going to take up his eternal residence in that place called hell. That place where the fire never goes out, a place of darkness, the place of the bottomless pit, the place where the worm dieth not, a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The far country is always worse than the place you left. Same thing was true of Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden, they had an ideal place to live. They had a job, they had to care for the garden, but the food was good. The weather was good. There were mosquitoes, but they didn't bite. There was ants, and they didn't come bug you as ants. I mean, everything was good. They got to fellowship with God. God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and they fellowshiped together. I can just imagine in my mind that fellowship with God that Adam and Eve joined in the Garden of Eden. But when they got the eye disease, when they said, I want to be like God. I want to know the things that God knows. I'm going to disobey God. They were cast out of that garden. The ground was cursed for their sake. In sorrow, they would eat of the ground all the days of their life. There would be thorns and thistles that the land would bring forth. And the sweat of thy brow, God told Adam, you'll eat. And he told Eve, you'll bring forth children with sorrow. The far country is always worse than the place we leave. The same thing is true for us. We were made to be a child of God. We were made to be part of His family. We were made to have a relationship with Him. And we reached that point in our life. We reached that point the first time that we are faced with the decision between right and wrong. We reached that point in our life when we reached what we call that age of accountability. When we know that, hey, there's a right and there's a wrong, and we get to choose, and we decide we're going to choose wrong. We know more than God. We don't need to obey Him. We don't need to follow His instruction. And again, before we reach that age, we are part of His family. We are on His way to heaven. That's why I believe when little babies die, they go to heaven immediately. They haven't reached that age of accountability yet. And before we reach that age, we are one of His children. We are on His way to heaven. And then we make that first decision to sin, and we become a sinner, and we go into the far country, and the far country we go into is far worse than the place that we were. You see, in that far country, at first, the world's good to us. The Bible says, sin for a season is pleasurable. And the prodigal son, while he had money for a while, it was pleasurable. He had friends. He enjoyed the things of the world. But sooner or later, it happens to every single person, the world loses its luster. The things of the world, we realize, have nothing to offer. We come to that point in our life where we say, like Solomon, after we've tasted all the things of the world and tried the things of the world, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. You see, you were made body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit was made to commune with God. Your spirit was made to fellowship with God. And without a relationship with God, there's something missing in your life. There's an empty spot in your life that nothing in this world can fill up. We try to fill it up with the things of the world, but they do not satisfy. We have an empty spot that nothing can fill. And the far country that we're in is always worse than the country that we left. Number three, most who go into the far country, they can't come back. They can't come back. Satan couldn't come back. When he raised himself up to be equal with God and was kicked out of heaven, he couldn't get back to heaven. Now, he still had access to God because we, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about him coming before God and accusing Job. But he could never go back and be that archangel. He can never go back to be that angel of music and beauty. He just couldn't come back. Adam and Eve couldn't come back. I mean, when they were kicked out of the garden, God put a cherubim there with a flaming sword to guard the way. I mean, they could still worship God and they could still have a relationship with God, but they could not come back to the Garden of Eden. They were cast out forever and because God didn't want them to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. And so they could not get back to where they were. The prodigal son even couldn't get back to where he was. I mean, he came back home, and he got new clothes, and he got new shoes, he got the ring back on his finger, they killed the fatted calf for him, but everything the father had was given to the older brother. No longer was he a younger son expecting to receive an inheritance, he'd already spent it. So that he could not come back to where he was before, a younger son that would one day share in the inheritance of his father. He could not come back to that place. Point number four, and this is the good news of my message, you can come back. You can come back. You can come back exactly to the same position you were before you left. In God's sight, you can be justified. You can be made just as if you'd never sinned. Just as if you never got the eye disease. Just as if you never turned your back on God. Just as if you never said, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with his book. I don't want anything to do with his church. I'll be my own boss. I'll be in charge of my own life. I'll do what I want to do. That's what the disease that you got when you left where you were. I got good news for you this morning. You can come back to the exact spot you were before you left. Amen. You can stand before God once again and be called a child of his, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, a full-fledged member of the family and all the benefits that go with it. You can come back to that place. Point number five, it's your choice. It's your choice. You can either stay in a far country, be your own boss, be in charge of your own life, decide which direction you're going to take, and you can live in that far country. Or you can choose to come back to that place where you're a member of God's family, where you're one of his children, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and all the benefits. Your choice. Your choice. You can stay in the far country and keep feeding the pigs, keep being poor, keep being hungry, keep being all alone, still have that empty spot in your life, something missing, where all the vanity and vexation of spirit. Or you can come back, get the robe, get the shoes, get the ring, get the fatted calf. Every sin forgiven and forgotten. A child of the King, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, full-fledged member of his family. You say, how is it possible? How can I come back? And Adam and Eve couldn't. How can I come back and a prodigal son not come back? How can I come back and Satan not come back? How is it possible? It's possible because somebody paid the price for your sin. It's possible because somebody loved you enough to take the punishment that you deserve as a sinner. That somebody was the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Not after we cleaned up our act, not after we repented, not after we decided that we wanted to go back and be part of God's family, before all of that, when we still had the eye disease, when we still said, I want to be my own boss and I want to direct my own life, doesn't matter what God says, when we still had the eye disease, God loved us enough that says, I'm going to send my son to die for your sin. I'm going to send Jesus to Calvary. I'm going to send my only begotten son who will be tempted in all points like as you, yet without sin. And as he goes to that cross, I'm going to take every one of your sins and I'm going to lay them on my son. And he's going to pay the price so that you can come back. So that you can come back and be part of God's family with all the benefits that go with being part of that family. That's what gives you a choice this morning. That's what gives you an opportunity to do that. You can come home. Again, prodigal son got to come home, and I'm sure it was a wonderful reunion and a wonderful life after that, but it was not the same. We can come back and it can be the same. We can come home and it can be the same. All you have to do is receive him. Believe on him. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." On his name. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that when he went to the cross, he did pay for all your sins. And you put your trust in that and nothing else. You depend on that and nothing else. And you can be justified. You can come home. You can be a child of God. Your choice this morning. I know most of us this morning, we've already made that choice. We've already decided, the world has nothing to offer. I've tried it. It has nothing to offer. Nothing for me. It leaves you empty. It is vexation and vanity of spirit. And you've already come back to the Savior. But there's probably some here that never have. Maybe one or two that have never made that decision. I invite you this morning, come on home. Come on home. Not a better place to be. And I know there's some Christians. Sometimes we get out of the will of God. Sometimes we catch the eye disease again. And we say, oh no, God, I don't want you to be in charge of that part of my life. You know what? You can be forgiven of that sin too. You can. You can get back to where you need to be. You can claim 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I invite you to do that this morning. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I invite you to come in just a moment. We'll take the Bible and from the Bible show you how to ask Jesus to save you. If you're a Christian and you've gotten off the straight and narrow way, get back on it. You can come to this altar. You can pray. You can ask for God's forgiveness. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. Thank you for the love that it shows us. And I pray for those that might be here this morning that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. They still have the eye disease. They're still in that far country. They need to come home. Help them come home this morning. Help them come back to you. I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray, Father, that we're in the center of your will. If any of us are not, help us to get back. Help us to come back and submit ourselves to you. You're God. You're God. Help us to come back to you. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.